All right, friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I had mentioned to you all a couple weeks ago or so that part of the reason I spent a lot of this month at camp was needing my batteries recharged. And I give thanks that there's evidence of the recharging of my batteries. I have to tell you, I've got a huge scrape on my leg right there. I've got bruises down on this leg. I've got rope burns right here. I had a burn right here, and I've got burns on my elbows. There's marks everywhere. And I give praise and thanksgiving for each and every one of them. I have a scrape on my leg because all of a sudden over the walkie-talkie at camp, I heard that a man by the name of Mike Symington was in camp, and I had to go running as fast as I can. You see, Mike was the manager of Lazy W for 25 years, and my parents were friends with him and had his kids in the youth group that they served, and growing up for all of my camping years, he was the manager, his wife ran the kitchen, and they were just the beloved parents of camp. And I haven't seen him since about 2005, maybe. And to all of a sudden hear he was in camp, I had to go running, and including to get to the fastest path possible, I jumped a short wall and scraped my leg along the way. So every time I feel the bumps on the bottom of my leg, I rejoice that I got to see Mike Symington. I have bruises and rope burns on my legs, which is exciting because I got them while climbing the Adventure Tower, actually climbing two different kinds of rope ladders that went 30 feet up in the air. And getting to be a kid and climb and have these kids, literally junior hires, go, "Whoa, how'd you get up there so fast?" just made my old soul feel so good that I could impress them with my climbing. I give thanks because where there were bruises on my arm that are fortunately healing was from getting to shoot archery and getting to pop balloons with arrows and how much fun that was. And whenever I see an archery target, I think about my definition of sin that I've grown up knowing, missing the mark. And every time I didn't hit near the bullseye, I said, "That's kind of like my sin, huh? I was aiming for where I needed to be and sometimes just miss a little bit." And getting to have that moment to get back with bow and arrow and target was just a blessed experience. And finally, I have burns on my elbows that were from getting to run through an 85-foot long blow-up obstacle course that was just a joy to be able to run through before any of the campers got to, I might add. But with all of that comes about 18 campfires, about as many times that I got to preach or teach or pray or lead kids out of the Bible. Putting in 6 to 8 miles a day, walking around camp and being outside and realizing quickly I needed sunscreen every day, not just for the pool. Being in the pool, being around the kids, such rejoicing with every physical and non-physical mark that was left. But intermixed within this, it's been fun getting to see the rejoicing happening in the Olympics. Anybody been watching the Olympics? All right. Did anybody else just jump up and down? And I'm trying not to butcher this name, but when Edalyn Diaz won the gold, who jumped up and rejoiced? The Philippines got its very first Olympic gold medal, and how good did that feel? And to see her rejoicing, that just wasn't just rejoicing over a gold medal like so many, but to know what she had done for her country and how many she had inspired was just a joy-filled moment. To see the joy, especially in the pool, when swimmers would win, but then not only to see the winners rejoicing, but to see those that didn't win rejoice with them and feel so excited for them. When we see that this text says rejoice always, we see it right there in the Olympics. Win or lose, the rejoicing that happens on the screen, in the stadiums, in the pools, and all around the world. Paul tells us to rejoice. Now this, 1 Thessalonians, if you don't know, is believed to be the oldest written of the New Testament books, the first to have had pen to parchment and put in written form, as Paul had visited Thessalonica. And it wasn't a long visit, but it was a deep visit that created deep bonds between Paul and the new believers at Thessalonica. And so as he is writing to this community, we can feel the great love that he has found for them. As he expresses over and over within this short book of thanksgiving and joy and encouragement to his new brothers and sisters, and giving this encouragement and love despite the death toll that they are experiencing, most likely at the hands of persecution. And we hear within this book that Paul has this deep desire to be back with them and regrets so much that he cannot turn around and return. But since he can't, he sends Timothy in his stead. Here is my apostle. Here is my student. And he will spend time with you and do the work and the connection that I so desperately want to do with you. Now, Paul, in this letter, spends time giving thanks for the new believers. He gives a plea to live a life pleasing to God. And he spends time with the promise of the coming of the Lord to give hope to the people grieving the loss of their brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's not a long letter, but it's certainly a heartfelt and loving one. Now here, what was read this morning was actually the ending and the final instructions of this letter. The final thoughts that he is giving them, uncertain when he might reach them again. But what does he do within this end of the letter is he gives the heart of the Christian life in just a few verses, and with it, what one of the greatest gifts of the Holy Spirit is, the gift of rejoicing. Now, rejoicing and giving thanks, like I said, are gifts that we give to God, that we give to ourselves, and that we give to others. Let's just think about the word in itself, rejoice, to joyce again. That doesn't, right? To joy again, to have joy again. Meaning you have been in a place where you were not experiencing or giving joy, but to return to it. In the Greek, gaudete is to give joy. Not to receive joy, not to feel joy, but to give joy as a gift. Now, where does that inspiration come from? But the Holy Spirit that inspires, invokes, and sustains our rejoicing when we choose to tap into it. Now, notice that when we choose to tap into it. So part of rejoicing is our choice. We've been talking about how it is that we have the power of positivity. How it is that we turn negatives into positives and in all circumstances be able to see the good. Now with rejoicing, there's a choice, isn't there? The choice of how we are expressing ourselves and like we talked about last week, where we are putting our focus and who is surrounding us. Are we choosing to be in despair? Or are we choosing to be people who are rejoicing and giving the gift of joy to those around us and to God who is continually blessing us? Martin Luther, the founder of the Reformation and the Protestant Church, writes about thanksgiving in particular as the art of the Holy Spirit. The art of the Holy Spirit being our ability to give thanksgiving to God and those around us. Kind of like Miss Becky choosing to have her phone call of giving thanks to someone. When is the last time that you spent intentional time giving thanks to God, giving thanks to others around you, giving thanks for what you do have? Because within that, what do we have but the attitude of gratitude? And when we have the attitude of gratitude, it is hard to have an attitude of negativity, but it becomes an attitude of positivity. One author writes, "These gifts are not simply moral obligations or disciplines intended to prepare the believer. No, they are already manifestations of God's presence in the spirit that consumes and transfigures spirit, soul, and body." Spirit, soul, and body are all mentioned by Paul in this final salutation. Verse 23, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." Sanctify, to make you holy. "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit, soul, and body. To Paul, they are inseparable. The whole being that composes us, just seen from different angles. Now, to be rejoicing in spirit, soul, and body means caring for our whole being, not so focused on our physical health that we forget our spiritual health, or focusing on our spiritual health and forgetting the health of our soul. How is it that we care for all three so that they are in harmony with one another and are able to bring harmony to our rejoicing? But even more so, the Spirit works in and out of community. We don't always know how, yet the community is given these signs: a deep gospel joy, an incessant prayer in words and in silence, and a thanksgiving that culminates in Christ's own body and blood shared in the community. Rejoicing that is felt and experienced through the communion we will soon enough take together. Be jealous. I've taken communion 8 times through the month of July. 9, I forgot about taking it here, y'all. Every time, with its own unique nature, its own way of rejoicing, its own particular experience with God, because God is with us. So then the question comes to how. How do we rejoice when we're struggling? Pastor, we thought we were coming out of the darkness, and now we hear about this Delta variant, and we're finding ourselves taking steps backwards in our rules and regulations. How in such frustration and struggle do we find rejoicing? Well, the first place we can find rejoicing is diving into God's word. We find encouragement as we read the stories of those who have struggled and striven and found their way through. We find rejoicing when we get reminded of the depth of God's love for us and God's ever-present grace that is within our lives. We find it through the Psalms. We find it through the poetry. We find it through things like Mary's song of rejoicing, "How blessed am I." Because those should be our words. How blessed am I. When we find ourselves struggling to rejoice, we can move ourselves into prayer and meditation, spending time giving all of our woes and cares and worries and stresses to God, and doing so until our woes and worries turn to wows and wonder. Because God does that through prayer. When we spend enough time with God, God can transform where our heart is and bring us rejoicing because of the presence within that time of prayer. For so many, it's listening to music. Donna, you're in my head every time a song comes into it. O come, Emmanuel has been in my head all morning and wanting to sing, rejoice, rejoice. Let's try it again. Rejoice. Beautiful was that. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Rejoice because God is with us. Sometimes when we need a smile and a reason to rejoice is allow music to keep going until it soothes our soul and uplifts our spirit. This week, if you find yourself struggling, just sing, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Maybe it's going through a list of that which you are thankful for. Realizing not what you lack, not where you struggle, but listing where it is that things are good and what you have and what you want to make sure God knows that you appreciate. And finally, my last, maybe it's calling and talking to a friend to be reminded of who supports you and who uplifts you. And utilizing that gift of friendship, connection, and brotherly and sisterly love to help transform your heart from worry to rejoicing. Because in all of this, as we read Paul's words of encouragement and instruction, and as we think about all of this, we remember that this world and all its pains and struggles that come with it do not have the final word. This too will not be our end. This too will not undo us. For God has the final word. God will be with us, and God will not disappoint us. My friends, I invite us to go into a time of rejoicing. As we rejoice with the blessing of our communion elements, which are sitting in wait for us, longing for us to take them, to hold them, to bless them, and to eat and drink them in remembrance of the powerful acts of Jesus Christ for us. So my friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for so much. Though there may be bruises and scars that we have from this world, we remember how much good there is in this world and the experiences that we have been through and how you have been there through it all with us. We know that we can be quick to give our groans and moans, Lord, to tell you what we need and what we lack. And too often times we don't share how much we have thanksgiving, how much we appreciate, and how much we love you. Help us to remember that while our emotions are valid, while our woes are something that we need to give, let us remember that with them, we do need to give our gratitude and praise, that we do need to remember the good that we have. And part of the good that we have is the communion meal, that reminder of what you are willing to do for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Remembering that Last Supper when he sat with his friends, knowing it would be his last. And there he gathered, taking bread and juice and asking you to bless them and then giving them to his disciples, saying, "This is my body and this is my blood. And they are broken and shed for you out of the unconditional love that I have for you. Whenever you eat and drink these together, rejoice and do so in remembrance of me." And so, Lord, our gifts of bread and juice that have been prepared for our community, we ask that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon them and all who receive them. May they become for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, that as we take them in, that we take in your Holy Spirit that inspires us, that invokes us to good works, and that sustains us in all that we do. And may we in return give your Holy Spirit to the world through the joy that we share and spread and the light that we shine in this world. For all of us and all of this is yours, Lord. And so we pray all of this in your mighty and holy name. Amen.